Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12. Lahini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. Did we read these other texts already? Until 20. Okay, so 21. Tam Riksha Deva Ite Kandukat Lila Yesha. Vedas Sputa Smita Vishrista Katang Shamustaha. Sri Prik Shana Pratisamikshana Vivalatma. Nat manam antika umam swagunam shaveda. Tam her viksha, after observing, deva Lord Shambhu. Iti, in this way, Kanduka Lilaya, by playing with a ball, Ishat sight, Vrida, by bashfulness, Asputa, not very distinct. Smita was smiling. Vishrista sent. Kataksha Mushtaha, defeated by the glances. Stri Prakshana, by glancing at that beautiful woman. Prati Samikshana, and by constantly being watched by her. Vivala Atma, whose mind was agitated. Na, not. Atmanam, himself. Antike, situated. Nearby. Umam, his wife. Mother Uma. Svaganan Cha, and his associates. Veda, Lord Shiva could understand. While Lord Shiva observed the beautiful woman playing with the ball, she sometimes glanced at him and slightly smiled in bashfulness. As he looked at the beautiful woman and she watched him, He forgot both himself and Uma, his most beautiful wife, as well as his associates nearby. Purport. The material bondage of this world is that a beautiful woman can captivate a handsome man, and that a handsome man can captivate a beautiful woman. Such are the affairs that began when Lord Shiva observed the beautiful girl playing with the ball. In such activities, the influence of Cupid is very prominent. As both parties move their eyebrows and glance at one another, their lusty desires increase more and more. Such reciprocations of lusty desire took place between Lord Shiva and the beautiful woman. Even though Uma and Lord Shiva's associates were by Lord Shiva's side. Such is the attraction between man and woman in the material world. Lord Shiva was supposed to be above all this attraction, but he was victimized by the captivating power of Lord Vishnu. Rishabhdev thus explains the nature of lusty attraction. Pumsa Sriya Maituni Bhavam Etam Tayor mriti mitiyo vridaya granti mahu ato griha shetra sutapta vitar shenasya moho yam aham mameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. This way one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. The Bhagavatam 5.5.8. When a man and woman exchange feelings of lust, both of them are victimized, and thus they are bound to this material world in various ways. Translation again. When Lord Shiva observed the beautiful woman playing with the ball, she sometimes glanced at him and slightly smiled in bashfulness. As he looked at the beautiful woman and she watched him, he forgot both himself and Uma, his most beautiful wife, as well as his associates nearby. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. That this material nature, he says, Daivi yesha, this divine energy of mine, consists of the three modes of material nature and is very difficult to overcome. But those who take shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. Now, the living entities come with a desire to the material world to imitate Krishna. And what would be better imitation than to imitate Radhan Krishna, the primeval imitation? That Radha and Krishna are the basis of pleasure in the spiritual world, and the basis of so-called happiness in the material world is the relation between Pungsa and Striya. And Krishna has set up the kingdom of the material world so that everyone can imagine themselves to be the king or the queen. Generally speaking, everyone is actually imagining themselves through the center of the universe. And indeed, their center is themselves, or what they think of themselves, or expansions of themselves. Here we've come to enjoy ourselves, to be the center, and we expand it to the body. And from the body to the family, to the society, to the country. So, our conception is that we are the center and anything in relation to me is also the center. And the first thing we have in relation to ourselves is this body. And the whole idea is to somehow or another enjoy here, like Krishna. So enjoyment is always the basic principle of existence, whether in the spiritual world or in the material world, and male and female is always the basic principle of existence, of enjoyment, either in the spiritual world or in the material world. Now the question is, where is there actually enjoyment? But for the conditioned soul, who doesn't have experience of spiritual enjoyment, then he has no alternative but to try material enjoyment. Therefore, Krishna says, everything starts with dhyayato. We have to contemplate something. If we're not contemplating Krishna, then obviously we must contemplate something else. Now, since there's nothing but Krishna, Krishna is everywhere and it's all his energy, the only way we can contemplate something other than Krishna is that Krishna to supply us with illusion called Maya. But Krishna is all powerful and he can empower his illusory energy to actually help us believe that there's something other than Krishna. And that there is a possibility of becoming either Radha or Krishna in this world. So that's the gift of the illusory energy creates a virtual reality, and it's such an expert virtual reality that we actually are completely convinced that it's real. And the next step after Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsa, after contemplating the objects of the senses, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsa, Sangas Teshu Pujayate. Then by that, then one will become attached to something, Sangat. We're looking for something that's attractive to ourselves, and in the human form of life, we may imagine that we actually know what the standard of attraction is. Because in the human form of life, it's closer to the reality. Krishna, of course, Krishna has many forms, but his principal form is that of Krishna in Vrindavan, playing on a flute. And his principal consort is Srimati Radharani, which have human-like forms. But Krishna also has his forms as a tortoise and a swan. He has his form as a half-man, half-lion, as a fish. But generally speaking, we don't know of Mrs. Fish or Miss Turtle. These pastimes are rather neutral to us. But in any case, the question is, how to escape out of this illusion, if we want to escape out of it. Most people don't want to escape out of illusion. They want to figure out how to get more an illusion. They don't think they have enough illusion. As a matter of fact, if they hear knowledge, they become very disturbed. That's also Maya's gift, to help us make sure that we don't get out of illusion. Just like when someone's giving class, because half the Bhagavatam is about sense gratification and how it's not very nice. It's not the ultimate happiness. So the best thing Maya does for us to make sure that we don't hear it, she puts us to sleep. Suddenly, we feel drowsy. And the philosophy becomes very, we can't understand it all. What are they talking about? It's all nonsense. It can't be real. The speaker doesn't know what he's talking about. He's always so negative. Why doesn't he see something positive? Maya will preach to us, and we're very receptive to listen. We think that makes more sense than the speaker. This Bhagavatam is 5,000 years old, but we're living in the golden age where there's free love. Look at all those happy faces on the posters. They look like they're enjoying. Why is this Hare Krishna so negative? Why don't they think something positive? So indeed, it's not supposed to be negative that even for the material world, the attraction between men and women has its place. It's not that, as we know, that if we become overly attached or overly averse, then we fall into illusion, either way. But the only way of actually getting out of that illusion is to become attached to Krishna consciousness. In other words, to try to artificially get out of illusion is artificial. To try to stop thinking about something means that generally we think about it even more. If someone says, don't think about this, then all we'll remember is what they told us not to think about. Why did you tell me not to think about that? Maybe he's thinking about it. Why shouldn't I think about it? What's wrong with thinking about it? It's nice to think about it. Therefore, yet para pangaja palasa vilasya bhakta kamashayam grahitam ugrikayanti shanta Tavang narikta matiyo yatiyo pibhutruda shutoganas tamurunam bhaja vasudeva. Therefore, it's advised that we worship Vasudeva. Of course, we may not be on that stage where we're actually worshiping Vasudeva. It's not so easy to worship Vasudeva because as Prabhupada once said, one of the problems in the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. Now, we may have some faith in Krishna. After all, how can we sit here in class for so many days and not actually have some faith in Krishna? But as far as, you know, Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful, how do we know if Krishna, you know, what experience we have of Krishna's unlimited beauty? It's just a theory to us. Like the theory of evolution or something. We may not believe in the theory of evolution because we have no experience of it. And similarly, our faith, how much we really believe in Krishna, depends upon how much experience we have of Krishna. And although he may be all attractive, he may have all beauty, but at least we have to become a little attracted to Krishna. A little experience. And for that we're given sadhana bhakti. And especially in this age, Krishna is presenting himself not only as Krishna, but he's presenting himself as Radha and Krishna, or Lakshmi Narayan, in the holy names. So we have to put aside at least our desire to have, you know, to enjoy the material world in its various phases for at least a few minutes a day and try to concentrate the mind on Hare Krishna. And hopefully if we do that in the right spirit, because it's not just, I gotta get out of this material world, I'm gonna suffer if I'm in the material world, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The devotees used to go up to a wall in the beginning, and they were falling asleep chanting Hare Krishna. And they hit their heads against the wall, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And someone would walk around with a squirt gun during class, especially. See someone sleeping. In other words, the Hare Krishna mantra is such torture that the only way you could actually hear it is to bang your head against the wall. It's so painful to hear it. So that's why we have class to try to explain to us, to relax a little bit, and that's why we have philosophy that's supposed to be applied. And Prabhupada used to say, we're not against sex life. And his audience, which were all these hippies, whatever a hippie was, they go, oh, thank Krishna. But then sometimes Prabhupada, there was a group called the Fugs. Have you ever heard of the Fugs? You've heard of them? Yeah, the Lamrita. It was a group that they sang, and everything they sang was pornographic. They wouldn't say a word that wasn't pornographic. And they looked like animals. I mean, no offense to the animals. I don't want to criticize animals. But the Fugs were living in the Lower East Side at that time, at least they were visiting. So they heard about 26 Second Avenue, and they came to hear Prabhupada's lecture. And Prabhupada apparently he didn't know who the Fugs were from, you know, from a brick wall. Anyhow, Prabhupada chose on that particular day to give a lecture about illicit sex and how sex should only be for procreation of children. Needless to say, the Fugs didn't go to sleep. They just got up and walked out. They couldn't, if they went to sleep, they would have stayed in association of this horrible philosophy, even unconsciously. So it's called appropriately understanding what is our situation and how is it applied to us. that one has to call, the whole idea is to cultivate Krishna consciousness, somehow or another put the consciousness upon Krishna. Now Krishna says, balam balavatam chaham kamaraga bula, bula, kamaraga vivarditam dharma rudo bhuteshu kamo smi bharatarshava. He says that I'm sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. So at the beginning of spiritual advancement, one will be attracted to, because it's, after all, it's Krishna's energy, and he says he's empowered the material energy as much as he's empowered, as much as, practically as much as he's powerful, he's empowered the illusory energy to illusion us. And who are we? Not to be illusioned. If we say, well, I'm a devotee. Well, that's nice. Nice idea. But then, what are we devoted to? How, how much am I identifying myself with this body or with this mind, and how much do I identify myself as Krishna's servant? Therefore, one should recognize what one's position is and not simply try to give oneself a pep talk. That actually I'm not this body, I'm actually Krishna's servant, I'm a pure devotee. Prabhupada said I'm a pure devotee. And I just keep on chanting my rounds, shnik shnik, ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. I'm sure to go back to kitty loka. No, we have to recognize what is our position and then try to understand we have an opportunity, in spite of whatever our material desires may be, at the same time, try to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Try to spend, because after all, what value do we get of allowing our minds to wander all over, thinking so many different things, mostly about who our enemies are and who our friends are, what I've gotten, what I've lost. What is the value of all this wasted energy in these thoughts? At least if you want something material, then stop. Write down on the paper, make a plan how to do it, and then do it, rather than just waste energy on useless thoughts that only agitate our minds. Like one time, one man asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can you tell us about Buddhism? How is it related to Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada said, asked him, he said, are you a Buddhist? And the man said, no. He said, why don't you just do something, practice Buddhism, then come back and ask. Do something practical. Just don't ask questions. So if one wants to enjoy the material world, one should go and enjoy. Like one time, Prabhupada was in 22nd Avenue, and one of the devotees living there, aspiring devotees living there, he said, Swamiji, I said, he's kind of living there, and he would come and go. One day he came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I can't stay here. I gotta go out and breathe fresh air. You know, I gotta go out there and run. So Prabhupada said, so do it! go for it! Do it! Find out what it's like. Just don't sit here on the mental platform. Try to actually experience something. Then you'll maybe learn some lesson. So the point is that Krishna consciousness is supposed to give us a higher taste, but we can only get that higher taste if we become convinced that it's possible to get that higher taste. And we'll only be ultimately convinced when we hear some how to practice Krishna consciousness in such a way as to get that higher taste. And if we practice in such a way as we get a higher taste, then we actually have we have some standard by which we can draw back again, even if we forget. Because after all, most of our time in the material world, if not all the time, is spent in forgetfulness of who we are. But still we practice sadhana bhakti, especially if we chant the holy names and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, worship the deities, live in a holy place, and serve the devotees, then it's possible to experience ecstasy, bhava. and that ecstasy purifies our hearts a little bit. When our heart is purified, then some of that anxiety we have over sense gratification, over the past and the future, will go away a little bit. And then we'll see that that's nice. And then we may, even this fact that we may become attracted again, because after all, the material nature doesn't wait around and ask, hey, would you like to be attracted? Do you feel like being attracted? No, it's spontaneous. As one devotee said in the this quote in the Nectar Devotion, when will the time come when I'll become as attracted to you, my dear Lord, as a young boy is attracted to a young girl, or a young girl is attracted to a young boy? So that's spontaneous. You don't have to go to school and find out about it. There's no need for Freud to write his philosophy. People were attracted even before Freud wrote his philosophy. Not only that, but they're attracted in 8,400,000 species of life, not only in the human form of life. When a male monkey looks at a female monkey, he's enchanted. And when that glance of that male monkey falls on the female monkey, she becomes bewildered too. Now, we may not be attracted to monkeys. But they find attraction within each other. Even somehow or another, the elephants find attraction. The birds find attraction. They set up their nests and they work hard to get the worm for the children. So in all these species of life, there is some attraction. So why not in the human form of life too? But human form of life is the one opportunity to also become attracted to Krishna. As we go through our attraction in the material world for whatever we're attracted to, because as lust develops, then one becomes attracted to so many varieties of things. In any case, while we're, whatever our karma was, however we got this body, along with its accumulated reactions, still we should try to cultivate Krishna consciousness so that gradually we can experience something of a higher taste, and therefore the path towards liberation will become clearer. If the path to liberation was not clear, that we made some progress in devotional service, but still we didn't understand where we're supposed to be going, what the next step is, to get even a higher taste than we got already. Because that's the whole idea. Krishna, if he bestows upon us, due to his causeless mercy, he sees our sincerity, and we get a little taste, then along with that little taste becomes a vision of how to get a little bit more taste. And even if we forget, due to our minds wandering and becoming bewildered, still, Krishna says, and we should, when we remember again, then we withdraw it back and try for a little bit higher taste again, a little higher than we got the last time. And that way, gradually make progress on and on until prasanta manasam yevam yoginam sukham uttamam upaiti shantarajasam brahmabhutam akamasha. The yogi who fixes his mind upon me verily attains the highest perfectional stage of happiness. By virtue of his identity with Brahman, he is liberated. His passions are quieted, and he's freed from all sin. So that's our aspiration, at least to come to that level, nishta, where we're not disturbed anymore. In any case, until then, we're disturbed. We may like it, we may not like it, whatever it may be. But if we stick on the path of devotional service, gradually we'll see things as they actually are. We'll be able to discriminate between what I was like before I was trying on the path to take to this path and what I'm like now. And therefore it may encourage us to continue on the path towards perfection. But the worst thing is to associate with materialists who are very much convinced that there's nothing higher than sense gratification and are expert at presenting sense gratification in such a way as to convince one that it's worth the try. That's modern Kali Yuga. Maya is decorated in such a way as to make it believable that this time it's going to be different. And unless we are serious on the path of devotional service, because of our natural inquisitiveness, we may think, well, I tasted Maya this way, but let me taste Maya that way. Maybe it'll be different. So that's, and when we think like that, Maya will encourage us and put us into the illusion that yes, you've understood things properly, this time it's going to be different. And from the workings of the illusory energy, there's forgetfulness also, so we forget that it was never different, it's always the same. And therefore we lose our intelligence, and we try again and again, punak punas charvita charvanana, and we get the same result again. So that means that in this material world, everyone is more or less crazy, but that should be taken for granted. It's not that only the people in the insane asylum are crazy. The definition of crazy is you do the same thing over and over again, and you get the same result, but then you do it again, and you expect a different result. That's called crazy. So everyone in this world is crazy because they're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But they're always getting the same result. So that much intelligence we should have, and that's why we have this philosophy, not to learn 100 different quotes of things, but to learn that. Take shelter of Krishna, and then gradually things will become clearer. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I was particularly struck when you said that, you know, I claim I'm a devotee, but I'm actually more a devotee of my body and my mind and my own ideas rather than Krishna. I was also wondering, the body and mind do need some care. We shouldn't pamper ourselves or be overly.
Don't worry, we're taking nice care of it. We don't have to be encouraged. I mean, sometimes devotees, you know, maybe at the beginning, sometimes devotees become fanatical because they don't have any experience. Mm. But I think most of us are not going to become so fanatical, we'll give up caring for our body.
The question I asked is that we need to also take care of the body and mind while we're doing our devotional service.
Yes, but we should take care of the body and mind because it belongs to Krishna. And because if we take care of the body and mind, then the body can be utilized as an instrument for Krishna's service. But if we take care of the body and mind for our own sense gratification, then there's no limit to how much we'll have to take care of the body and the mind.
Right. Thank you.
Anything else? Kwala, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai.